Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. I'd like to get through this tonight. Man, I tell you, if I do, it'll be a miracle. I may just skip kind of through it tonight, but I want to give it to you tonight. I tell you, the Lord has really, really blessed my heart with it today. In Genesis chapter number 45, the Bible said, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried." I'm taking for granted that you know a little bit about chapter 44, how that Joseph had not yet revealed himself unto his brethren. I was reading in that earlier this week. You know, we were in Genesis chapter number 41 on Sunday, and I really enjoyed that, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. But you come on over, and the brethren have come back, Joseph's brethren have come back, and he's fixing to reveal himself to them in chapter 45. And he said, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. I said this today. One of our ladies was in this altar not long ago praying for a brother. I just knelt beside of her. I said, "Sis, can I help you pray?" She said, "It's my brother." God, give us our tears back. Amen. Give us our burden back. How many of y'all got somebody in your family going to die and bust hell wide open if God don't do something in their life? Amen. I like Joseph. He's so full of God, he's spilling over on me. Amen. He's weeping. He's getting ready to tell his brethren something. "Look here. My goodness." And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Again, he's put them out, but they can hear what's going on in there. Amen. How many believes if we're what we're supposed to be for God that the world around us will hear what's going on? Amen. I believe that. It'll have an impact. And the Word of God said here, he wept aloud, and Joseph said unto his brethren. How many remembers all that typology about Joseph and Jesus Sunday? You remember some of that? Look what them next two words. God showed me some. He said, "I am." Well, glory, amen. I am Joseph. I just caught that today, amen. Every time you turn around reading about Joseph, he's a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Can I ask you a question? Do you blame him? Can you imagine the guilt that they've carried in their hearts all of these years after selling their brother, contemplated killing him? And then the thought come up, "Well, we can make a little money if we sell him." Amen. I can only imagine the guilt that they've carried. And I don't blame them for being troubled in his presence. And let me just say this to you. How many's ever carried the guilt of sin as a child of God? Raise your hand. As a child of God, how many remembers when you got troubled in his presence? You showed up somewhere at a meeting and God come down, buddy, and you knew that you were exposed, amen, in his eyes. And we were troubled at his presence. Watch this now. The Bible said, "And Joseph said unto his brethren," I love this, look at those words, "come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. I'm just glad Jesus saved us by a great deliverance. So now, I watch this. I love this language. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. I love those words. Not you, but God. There's a whole lot of people thinks they're doing something and don't realize whose hand this whole plan's in. Amen. It was not you, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all, Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it was my mouth that speaketh, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory. How you like that? It just seems like you're reading about Jesus, don't it? You shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that you have seen. And you shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, I like this. You know, that'd be good enough for me just looking at old Benjamin. But the Bible said, moreover, he kissed all of his brethren. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't have a heart that's right with God and be a respecter of persons. You can't have a heart that's right with God and pick and choose who you're going to kiss and who you ain't. Amen. Who you're going to fellowship with or speak to and who you're not. The Bible said here, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. And it's heard again, isn't it? Saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons. Now, please pay attention now, we're going to get down to our text tonight. He said, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt. You know, Egypt in the Bible, most of the time, is a type of the world. You understand what I mean? But here, God's using Egypt to save his people. He's using that dream that he gave to Pharaoh. God didn't give the dream to Joseph. He gave it to Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted the dream. And because they've put up one-fifth of the corn for 7 years, now in these 7 years, they're going to have enough corn to go around. Not only feed the Egyptians, but all of the neighboring countries are coming to Joseph for corn. Now watch this. Watch this. He said something about some wagons here out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. I love this statement. And regard not your stuff. We might have revival if we'd quit regarding our stuff so much. Amen. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. To all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. And so he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. There's a lot of people along the way fell out, ain't they? And the Bible said in verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt. I need to stop right there and I'll give you another prayer request. I ain't got no better sense than to mind the Lord. The Lord does remind me. I talked to Brother Larry Winkle a while ago. And his head's about to bust. That neck's killing him. He told me, said, preacher, if at all possible, I'll be there. How many will help me pray for Brother Larry? Amen. Let's go on. The Bible said here, and they went up out of Egypt and came, and they went up out of Egypt, verse 25, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. Now put yourself in Jacob's shoes for a minute. Here's a man that's mourned and a man that's grieved. You remember they dipped Joseph's coat in the blood and said, looks like, you know, he said, surely a beast has torn him apart. And he thought his son was dead. That's why he didn't want Benjamin to leave home. He said, I've already had one son to die. Why would I want to lose another? And the Bible said here, and they came up out of Egypt. And then verse number 26 told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Now, this is fair enough right here. And Jacob's heart fainted, and he believed them not. You know, David made a statement. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And Jacob's heart fainted, and he believed them not. Let me ask you a question. Can you blame him? Amen. Think about it for just a minute. Amen. This is a shock to the system. And the Bible said here, watch this with me. It's going to get good tonight. I know it is. If it gets half as foggy as in here as it was in that office this afternoon, it'll get good. Watch this. And they told him all the words of Joseph. Glory to God. I'm glad we got all the words of Joseph. You'll get that after a while. Amen. Don't add to them. Don't take away from them. Which he had said unto them. Now look at this. Here's my text tonight. And when he saw the wagons. Oh, glory to God. I hope somebody will get a glimpse of a wagon tonight before we get out of this service. The word of God said, when he saw the wagons, his heart was revived. He said, preacher, I don't know what was in them wagons. Well, I'm going to speculate a little bit tonight and give you some things out of this chapter. Watch this. The Bible said here, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him. Boy, now I know where they got that over there, Brother Rose, in North Carolina. They say, will you carry me down there to the gas station? Will you carry me over the wagon? I never did see that in the Bible, amen. But the Bible said here, he sent the wagons to carry him. The Bible said the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, that's Jacob, Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. And I'll go and see him before I die. Amen. I want to preach for a little while tonight on this subject. We need to see the wagons. The Bible said when he saw the wagons, the spirit revived. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Anybody could use a little revival in your spirit tonight? I believe God will help us tonight. Amen. If we'll let him. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this wonderful meeting. God, I know tonight, our Father, that if the world looked at us tonight, they'd probably make fun. That's all right, Lord. We have a purpose in being here tonight. Lord, we want to hear from you. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd clothe this pastor and his calling to help me, Father, tonight to be a help to my precious people. God, I pray tonight, Lord, as we look here at these wagons for just a little while, that you'd bless and flood our soul. Help us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look at some things tonight here in the Word of God in this chapter. I love how the Lord's working in my life and in my heart. I was telling Brother Jeff Rasnick this morning, I've just been going online and just printing out plain text of the Bible. Just plain text. My Bible's so marked up and I've got so much stuff written in it and underlined. I've been using it since 1991. It just seems like I look at that plain text. God just giving me stuff that I've looked over and missed. Amen. And And God just blessing it. And I looked at this statement here. What happened when he saw the wagons? The Word of God said the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. What in the world did these wagons represent as they're coming in there now to the land of Canaan to pick up Jacob? Amen. And to pick up their wives, pick up their little ones. Amen. What do these wagons represent? And I saw some things in the chapter that I want you to see with me tonight. And I believe that we'll be in agreement. Number one, I believe these wagons represent the presence of the Lord or the presence of Joseph. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, he couldn't see Joseph, but the wagons were a good representation of what they had already seen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Go back in the early part of the chapter. The Bible said, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, he caused every man to go out from me. And Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And the brethren could not answer him because they were troubled at his presence. Can I tell you something we need in this generation? We need some wagons coming out of a prayer closet where somebody has been in the presence of an almighty God. I tell you, when Moses got up there and got alone with God, he had to put a veil over his face. Amen. And I believe it's not too late to have revival, but we need his presence once again. We need his presence down at the house. And we need his presence down at the house of God. Let's not complain about his presence being gone from the school or being gone from the White House until we get his presence back in our house and get his presence back in God's house. I believe these wagons, when Jacob saw them coming, were a representation of the presence of a holy God. He changed his heart just like that when he saw the wagons. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that God, his presence, he can do more. He can show up and do more in 1 second than I can get done in one lifetime. How many say amen right there? I'm telling you, there's no substitute for the presence of God. We've got churches that's learned how and preachers that's learned how. I'm telling you, I'm not against learning. I'm not against education. But if it leaves him out there on the stoop, want to chunk every bit of it. Like Paul said, count it all but dung, amen, and beg his presence down on us once again. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I tell you something right now. These presence made a difference in these boys' lives. Joseph's presence made a difference in Jacob's sons' lives. Amen. Notice here, he said this. Joseph said unto his brethren, and let me say the same to you tonight. Listen to me, every one of us here tonight. Our heavenly Joseph would say the same thing. He'd say, Gail, come near to me. Come near, honey. Get on up here close, Brother Rick. That's what our heavenly Joseph would say, come near. You say, preacher, how come we don't come near? I tell you, there's a lot of reasons we don't come near. But I believe one of the reasons is we don't really believe he wants us to. He wants us to come near. He wants us to jump plumb up there, amen, and fellowship with him and worship him. But how many knows what's going to have to go before we can do that? Pride's got to go. Self's got to go. Sin's got to go. We can't have any of that mess in his presence. Amen. We got to get to that place where we're totally dependent upon him. I like what Joseph said to his brethren. He said, boys, come near. He said, there's a distance. There's a distance between us. He's saying, Brother Wayne, I don't want that distance. Come on over here closer. Come closer. Come closer. He said, preacher, you're getting closer to Wayne. He's not getting closer to you. Let me tell you something right now. God said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. I found out something about my God. You take a step towards him, and he'll run towards you. He loves us tonight. Hallelujah. One of these days, God will let me teach on Wednesday night. But until he does, I'm just going to let her rip. Amen. Amen. This is teaching. And it is preaching. It's the Word of God. And it'll help us tonight. His presence. His presence. His presence. There's no substitute for His presence. He said, come near to me, I pray you. And look at this next little phrase. And they came near. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means they're listening. That means they believed Him. He said, come near. And the Word of God said, and they came near. I believe with all of my heart tonight. Listen to me carefully right here, church. I mean, I'm going to tell you how close that Brother David is to God tonight. Listen to me carefully. He won't mind me saying this, but I'm going to tell you how close he is to God. Just as close as he wants to be. I'll tell you how close your pastor is to God tonight. Just as close as he wants to be. I'm going to tell you something right now. How many knows I'm telling it right? Sometimes we get close and we just don't want to get much closer. You don't want to know why? Because it's going to cost us something to get closer. And I tell you, I don't care what the price is. I believe it's worth it. Amen. To get in His presence, I believe with all of my heart, these brethren of Joseph would tell you, hey, the wagons came out of the presence of Joseph. Amen. They were a reflection of His presence. Notice here, the Bible said, now therefore be not grieved. No, watch, I missed something. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, which shall neither be year nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity into earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Brother Brian, I can't help but think maybe their heart's out of their throat now. Amen. He's speaking words of peace, words of compassion. Amen. And he says, boys, I don't like this distance. Amen. Just come close. Get on over here. Amen. I got something I want to say to you. By the way, God is a God to be feared. How many say amen right there? But I'm going to tell you, a lot of preachers paint Him as a God with a great old big club and He can't wait to hit you over the head. I will tell you, that's not the God of the Bible. He'll chasten us if we need chasing, and amen. But I'm telling you, He'd much rather just say, come near, and us just get up and head towards Him. He'd much rather it be that way. He'd much rather it be that way. The wagons, boy, I can almost hear them coming down the road. They're coming out of His presence. Amen. They reflect His presence. Secondly, in the message tonight, is it 5 minutes to wait? It can't be 5 minutes to wait. It's about 5 minutes to wait. Amen. I'd like to give my watch away. Amen. I'll get somebody to take it. Watch this tonight. Secondly, in the message, the Bible said here, I may just preach this right here. And I don't know. Pray for me. The Bible said that God sent me before you to preserve your posterity of the earth and save your lives by great deliverance. Now watch this. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Here's what I see right here. The wagons are a reflection of His presence. But the wagons are a reflection of something else. Folks, if we could get a hold of this tonight, it would change our lives. Amen. They were a reflection of His purpose. He had a purpose in all this that had happened. He said, now, preacher, how about this? The Bible said, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. How many believes God has a purpose in our lives? Amen. How many understands that at times we don't understand? We don't understand. I don't have to understand. And by the way, I'm not one of these that preaches that all things are good. I can't read Job chapter 1 and say all of that was good. But I tell you what I can do. I can read Job chapter 1 and say, my God in heaven was working it all together for good in the life of Job. Amen. I'm telling you, He put it in there for you and for me tonight. Out of His purpose. They represent His purpose. The Bible said here, it was not you, but God. Let me tell you where a lot of church problems stem from. As far as I know right now, we don't have any that I know of. Nothing major anyway, amen? But listen to me carefully. You know where a lot of church problems stem from? Is when people think it's you. And they don't realize it's not you, but it's God. God, you're trying to teach me something here, amen? Some people are just like sandpaper, amen? I mean, tell you what's the truth. You say, well, preacher, what do you do with sandpaper? I tell you what do. Pour some oil in there, amen? The oil of the Holy Ghost in there, amen? And that friction will cut down a little bit, amen? And realize, hey, it's not you, but it's God. And there's an enemy against God that's an enemy against both of us. Joseph said here, it's not you, but God. These fellows are fixing to understand for the first time that God had a purpose in all of this. Watch what the Bible said. God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. You know, they didn't like shepherds over there in Egypt and flocks. But God gave them a land all of their own. He said, thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, thy flocks, thy herds, and all that thou hast. And I love this. Look at this phrase. And I will, glory to God, I'll nourish thee. Are you talking about a great love? I'm telling you, Joseph is not, he don't want that distance. He wants them to be near. Joseph's got all kinds of servants all over the land of Egypt. Amen. But Joseph didn't say, I'm going to send somebody. Joseph said, hey, I want to do this myself. Aren't you glad? Thank God we have a Savior tonight. There's no substitute for Him. He wants to be there for us tonight. He loves us. He cares for us tonight. Watch this tonight. Let me help you tonight, please. I'm just going to go on through this real quickly. Look with me just a moment. The Bible said he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and he wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Let me ask you a question. How many believes we might have a more effective prayer life? Listen to me carefully right here. You see it right here? Hey, was something happened before they talked with him. It's pretty sweet what happened here, amen. He's a weeping on them, amen. They're fellowshipping, brother, one with another, amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. You and I both are guilty of it. We run into the throne room of God. We want to begin to tell Him what we need and what others need. Amen. I'm telling you, change our prayer life if we just get in there and quote a few of the Psalms, sing Him a song, and get in a spirit to pray before we ever started praying. You ever come to God and said, Lord, I've asked you for enough today. I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just want to spend a little time with you. Lord, I want to thank you. You know, sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with it, church. There's nothing wrong with it. If it takes 15, 20, 30 minutes to take prayer requests to get around the altar and pray, there's not a thing in the world wrong with it. But every once in a while, somebody ought to jump up and say, He answered my prayer. And bless His name. And thank Him for what He's done. All tonight, I see right here, he said, preacher, what do you see in all this? I see His passion. Those wagons, they don't only reflect His presence. And they don't only reflect His purpose. But they reflect His passion. I didn't know for sure about using that word. So I looked it up. I looked up the word passion. Here's what the word means. Strong and barely controllable emotion. How many believes if we had been witnessing this with John and his brethren, we wouldn't have had a bit of problem saying there's a lot of strong and barely controllable emotion going on right here. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully, church. I've never done this myself. I think God gave me a warning. But a preacher said one time he couldn't preach without weeping. And he told this. I can't remember who the man was, but he told this. He said, I beg God to take those tears and just let me preach. And he said, after a couple of months of that, he said, I was begging him to give me my tears back.
Amen.
Everybody's not the same emotionally. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. But we don't need to be critical of one another. If one man weeps and another man don't, amen, I'm talking about preaching or worshiping or praying or whatever it is. Some pray quietly, some pray loud. The main thing is just pray and talk to the God of heaven, amen. Some pray with a great deal of structure. I need to get back to more of that myself. I tell you, I had a good time. There was, I guess it's been 2 or 3 years ago, I ended up having a notebook. And I would walk and pray. But you say, preacher, why would you walk and pray? How many knows when some of us get still, we get sleepy? Amen. Now, ain't that the truth? And so I would learn to walk and pray and just walk and go down through there and I'd read one and then I'd just add to it. And the first thing you know, I got 2 or 3 sheets filled up praying, talking to the God of heaven. Wasn't always weeping. Sometimes it was. I'm telling you, there's a passion represented here tonight. Joseph is weeping over the necks of his brethren. Joseph is kissing his brethren. I believe tonight with all of my heart that our Lord wants to fellowship with us. Amen. In His presence, in His purpose. Those wagons, they represent something. They represent this purpose and His presence and His passion. Let me give you this now tonight. Just a couple things and I'll be done. In verse number 20, I love this. Listen to me carefully. Not only do those wagons represent Joseph's presence and Joseph's purpose and Joseph's passion, but they represent Joseph's provision. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. You know what Joseph told him? He said, I want you to take the wagons, and he said, I want you to go get Dad. He said, I'm going to give you enough stuff for the journey. Did we read it there a while ago? Going to give you meat, going to give you corn, going to give you everything you need for the journey. Amen. Going to give you antifreeze for the chariot. I'm just kidding. Amen. But he gave them everything that they needed. Amen. For the journey. And this is what he said. He said, when you get down there, he said, tell them, regard not the stuff. You want to know, you know, he said, preacher, what are you trying to say? And, oh, brother Ralph, it was getting pretty tough for me to trust God for that liver. Wasn't it you? We didn't have it. There's a lot of stuff we have, but we knew a man that needed a liver, and we didn't have it. Amen? You know what we need to realize tonight? When that wagon, we see that wagon is a representation not just of His presence and His purpose and His passion, but thank God, it's a representation of His provision. I sat in the office today, and maybe I shouldn't spit this out of my mouth, but it's what God gave me, and He just brought it back to my mind. If I get a phone call tonight, and that place down there where I live is on fire, and it all goes up in ashes, I hope and pray to God I can realize there's a wagon coming. And He'll provide everything that I need. I don't want to lose my home. I don't want to lose what I've gained over the years. But I'm just telling you, what we have in Him is more precious than what we have over there on the hill. Amen. By the way, Miss Eve, who gave the first load of stuff? Hallelujah. He said, regard not the stuff. I've got enough stuff for the journey. I've got enough stuff to see you through. Amen. Glory to God. There's people. Listen to me. They're going crazy over the stuff. I never shall forget a couple years ago at Christmas time when it came out that people were killed in a stampede trying to get to the stuff that was on the shelf. I say, God, help us in this country to get back to the Savior and realize He's got a wagon that's got all the stuff we need in it. Amen. Hallelujah, the provision. I mean, I could preach right there a while. My wife and I got to tell a story or two. Amen. My wife and I, we resigned our first church. Now, she wasn't my assistant pastor. Don't read that into that. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you what, I ain't much of a pastor without her. I need her. I'll go ahead and say this church needs her. appreciate her. I resigned over there in Wise, and we had joined the church. I went out preaching. This man asked me to come, Brother Willie Cody. And Brother Willie, he said, "Preacher, what all did you have?" Well, I'll tell you how we was making it, brother. My brother rented the U-Haul truck. I was living in a parsonage. He rented the U-Haul, and he rented the storage building and put my furniture in it. And I moved into the basement of my daddy's with my wife and four children. I think it's pretty close, Miss Eve. We had $175 to our name. That's close. That's real close. I didn't even have enough to rent the store, the truck and the storage building. My brother did that for me. He said, what are you trying to say, preacher? Well, listen just a minute. I'm telling you about a wagon. It's got the provision in it. I went up there and preached in Jonesville, Virginia for Brother Willie Cody. We got out on the porch after there was 45 people in the morning service. We got out on the porch and Brother Willie had lost his wife 2 weeks prior to us being there. That man of God stood there and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'd love to take you and your family home and feed you." He said, "But I wouldn't even know how to start fixing a meal." He took $20 out, Brother Ralph, and he said, "Would you stop somewhere and buy your family a hamburger on the way home?" I wept. I said, "Brother Willie, you don't have to do that." He said, "I want to." I said, "Well, I'll do it." He gave me an envelope. This might not mean nothing to you, but I'm in the wagon. I ain't just looking at it now. I'm in the wagon, amen. I handed that wife to my envelope. That envelope to my wife. We're going down the road and heading home. We got them children with us. My wife, I look over at her and she's weeping, brother. And you know, God helped me. But I thought, honey, you know, the offering might be bad, but don't cry over it. She wasn't weeping because it was bad. I said, "Honey, what is it?" She said, "I quit counting at $500. You say, "Preacher, you mean God took 45 people?" Oh, yes, that's exactly what I mean. He said, "Preacher, what did he do?" He wanted me to see a wagon that represented him, his provision, his presence, his power, his purpose in my life. I'm telling you, thank God, I could tell you story after story after story how God has met our needs. Amen. I appreciate so very much the wagon that revives my spirit when I see it coming. Amen. God sent a wagon. Oh, I could go on right there. I'd love to, too. But it might be morning before you get home. I'm telling you time and time and time again. I'll tell you what. I've grown enough in 26 years of knowing Jesus. February 22nd will be 27 years of knowing Jesus. There's a lot of places, a lot of areas I haven't grown. But that area of provision, you'll not catch this old boy worried about it. No, sir. No, sir. I've seen ends so far apart you didn't think you could ever get them to come together. But you never need to, you need to realize this. They're never so far apart that God can't reach them both and bring them right together. Amen. Amen. I just want to say this, church. I thank God for a beautiful building. I thank God for my house. I thank God for air conditioning, don't you? And heat in the winter. Amen. But how many believes we was a little bit closer to God when we didn't have so much stuff? We had a little bit more time for God when we didn't have so much stuff. We appreciated Him more when we didn't have so much stuff. Amen. I was telling Brother Ed the other day in the hospital, how many remembers them little Debbie oatmeal cakes? Boy, I want one right now just thinking about it. Amen. We used to. They had a little window in the box. How many knows what I'm talking about? And my mama would grocery shop. She had six kids. She'd grocery shop on Thursday. And the cakes were off limits. Because with six children, a box of oatmeal cakes, an open box is an empty box. And so God gave me wisdom. No, I can't blame this on God. I got to where I could fish one out through the window. Shake them back over under the window. All it did was postpone the inevitable. Amen. The box wasn't open, but when Mama went to pack lunches on Monday morning and there was only 3 cakes under the window and the rest of the box was empty, we did have a mice problem back in, amen. But that was a rat problem, wasn't it, amen? A big old rat. I've seen my mom and dad. I've seen them unchanged. Has anybody ever experienced anything like that? I've seen them get down in the couch and get down under the recliner and hunt change. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I see a wagon. It's got God's provision in it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Every one of us tonight ought to thank Him. How many's glad, men, that you don't have as many pairs of shoes as your wife has? That would require 10 more closets in every house, wouldn't it? Amen. I'm just picking at the ladies. How many's got more than we need? Amen. Abundantly beyond. Let me give you this, and I'm done. You ready? Let's look at this last thing here tonight, and I'm done. I'm trying to quit. The Bible said here, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it's enough. God loaded the wagon, didn't he? Watch this. He said, preacher, what do you see right here? He said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. He said, preacher, what does that wagon represent? The last thing it represents, along with His presence, along with His purpose, along with His power and His passion, along with His provision, it represents His promise. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Watch this now. Joseph said, Jacob said, my son Joseph is yet alive. How many remembers when Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again? Watch this with me. Just a moment. I'll go and see him before I die. Look at verse 1 of chapter 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba, and he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. He said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee. How do you like that promise? How many likes that promise where he said he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us? Watch this. And I'll surely bring thee up again. How you like that promise? Oh, goodness. And Joseph, watch this. I'll tell you what's the truth. I hope I'm not out of line right here, Brother Rose. But Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. Watch this. I know how the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I've never seen this before in my life. You say a promise? How many believes there's some tears in this life? How many believes there's a great white throne judgment we're going to witness? We're not going to be judged. How many believes we're going to weep like we've never wept before? How many believes that God shall wipe all tears away from our eyes? What a promise tonight. What a promise tonight. The wagons represent the promise. The Bible said, Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes.
here's Jacob evidently getting down low in the evening time in his life. But God said, Joseph will put his hand upon thine eyes. I believe tonight with all my heart, every once in a while, if we'll stay in that old book, God will have a wagon coming along with another promise in it that'll keep us going another mile in spite of the enemy, in spite of ourselves. Amen. In spite of everything that's going on in this world. Did anybody get a glimpse of the wagon tonight? They're loaded, ain't they, Brother Mike? He's been so good to us. He's been good to this church. Every family has its problems. Every church has its problems. There have never been enough problems in my family that I couldn't say God's been good to my family. Amen. Our country's got its problems, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. God's been good to this country. Amen. God's been good to this country. Tonight, when you get down, you get discouraged, look up. See if there ain't a wagon coming your way. Amen. Representing our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for these that have come. God, it's my prayer tonight that you'd take the message and seal it in our hearts. Help us, our Father, to be more like Jesus. Help us, Lord, tonight to know and to do your will. Help us, Lord, not to just keep looking at our feet and looking down, but look up and see the wagons that you've sent, Lord, to encourage us along the way. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, I cannot describe in words these precious people tonight, how good your presence has been in my life today. It's been so sweet, Lord. Would you just help us? Jacob said, when I saw the wagons, my spirit revived. Revive us again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.